I was inspired by Anne's comments last week about kindness and generosity. This last week, reviewing and following recent events in Washington, the impeachment trial, struck me how immediate and accessible anger, judgment, and indignation are. They just are right there. It's easy to feel them. On the other hand, kindness and generosity take an extra step. They require the willingness to step beyond the reactivity of conditioning, which is why these practices are of supreme importance, especially at divisive times like those we are living in right now. There's a joke about two guys talking, and the first guy says, "Hey, I hear your son lost his job. How's he doing? Has he found a new job yet?" The second guy says, "No, he hasn't found a job, but he started meditating." And the first guy said, "Meditation, what's that about?" And the second guy says, "Well, I don't know, but it's better than sitting around doing nothing." Which brings up, what is a spiritual practice anyways? What is it that makes up a spiritual path? Is our practice the 45 minutes we just spent finding a bit of inner peace before the demands of the day set upon us? Is it a self-indulgence, happy-making, while the world suffers and burns around us? Or does it include other aspects of our lives? Is spiritual practice also the way we drive? Is it the way we interact with family, with coworkers, with community? Is it the way we spend our time, the way we choose to spend our money? Is it also the way we respond to the pandemic? In other words, is there anything that's not part of our practice? There is a Dharma teaching called the Domains of Practice, which points out that nothing is excluded. In this light, we see our formal meditation time as a kind of priming the pump more than as an end in itself. The formal practice supports a state of mindful awareness, or vipassana, clear seeing, that we grow into the fabric of our lives. So what does our practice do? Is it basically navel gazing? Is it self-involved and doesn't really involve others? On one level, it does, because we live our lives from the center outward. Our center has to be consistent and it must hold. But at a different level, practicing for oneself does not even make sense, even as a concept. It becomes obvious that we work on our own individuality as an offering to the connected web of everything that is. I think this is evidence even before the deeper realization of emptiness of self and that sense of utterable oneness blossoms as the fruit of our Dharma practice. You know, some years ago, Lou and I used to go to St. Louis to do a technology called auditing that later became the basis for Scientology. It's a powerful psychological technology that uses the body's own neurological and electrical currents to find places of undigested psychological pain and resolve them. And in this auditing process, the very first level of work, the first thing that someone is exposed to when they start to audit, is work that leads to the realization that what's on the inside of you is always communicating outwards. Even if you succeed in not acting it out, your energy is transmitting all the time. Nothing that is happening in your heart and mind can be truly hidden, despite, of course, our hoping to the contrary. So the point is, while we do our formal practice starting in the inside, our practice transmits itself externally all the time, even without any conscious effort on our part. The truth is, we cannot stop communicating who we are to everyone and everything around us. So from this understanding, the path to find healing, wholeness, connection, and peace is one of the most profound gifts we can offer to the world. So we move away from thinking of our spiritual path as the time we spend in meditation, and we look at the rest of our lives. An important part of conscious spiritual cultivation in everyday life. There's a phrase that I'm pretty sure was coined in the West called engaged Buddhism, which I think means responding with social activism to issues based on Buddhist values, which is a lovely thing. But I'd like to posit that there really is no such thing as unengaged Buddhism. You know, if our practice is expressing 24/7 all the time, this path is about the conscious practice of clear, deeper seeing as life. So with all that in mind, let's look at kindness and generosity and its practice. The Dalai Lama famously once said that his religion is kindness. And the Dharma traditionally starts here with kindness and generosity, as Anne mentioned last week. Part of the Eightfold Path is sila, right speech, right action, right livelihood, which is certainly these things. In the Visuddhimagga, which is the Vipassana tradition of the path of practice, the very first stage is called purification of virtue, which is living with kindness and non-harm. So acts of kindness, generosity, are the foundation of our spiritual life. With that said, what might this look like for each of us? Where do we start? As articulated with metta practice instructions in the suttas, when we are looking at cultivating loving kindness, we must begin by cultivating kindness to ourselves, because kindness can extend outward only to the extent that you can practice it internally toward yourself. As the suttas say, we practice internally and externally, but the internally comes first. Trying to extend kindness externally without having it in place internally leads to burnout, it leads to resentment, it leads to feeling like you are simply emptied out and exhausted. Now, thinking that we start a practice internally with ourselves is really challenging in a culture that has ideals of self-abnegation, self-sacrifice, and the ideal of always putting others before ourselves. And we all know from experience that we are the least able to be giving when we feel impoverished inside. So we start with kindness toward ourselves. How can I find acts that are generous and kind to myself? I'm going to suggest three categories, and in a minute we'll break into small groups and share ideas of what those ideas might look for us personally. The first category is physical acts of kindness and generosity relating to caring for ourselves, our bodies. The second category is emotional, actions that bring pleasure, joy, and connection into our lives. And the third category is spiritual, acts that bring us into line with the deeper meaning and truth of our lives. So what might cultivation in these areas feel relevant to you? Let me offer a few examples that I came up with just to help as a guideline. In terms of physical acts of kindness and generosity, caring for myself, I came up with resting when I'm tired, not pushing through. eating well, making wise food choices, getting outside every day, exercising. Acts of on the emotional level, things that bring pleasure, joy, and connection into my life, is making time for friends. In the pandemic, picking up my phone every day, texting, calling, giving and receiving love. Speaking my truth when it's important. Forgiving the daily inconveniences of life. Just all the things that we wait for, that screw up, that don't go well, and just forgiving life for being that way. And forgiving myself for my own daily lapses. Spiritually, in terms of generosity and kindness, are the things that bring me into line with deeper meaning and the truth of life. Some examples were letting go of fixing, resting and not knowing, and cultivating periods of reflection. So in our breakout rooms, when you come up with suggestions, I'd like to offer to you the practice of picking one of the suggestions, one of the ideas that resound, that feel relevant to you, and include it in your spiritual practice for this coming week. You might pick one in each category, but just pick at least one. Write it down on a piece of paper, put it in the bathroom mirror or next to the coffee maker so you'll be reminded of it. And to do this as engaged practice, to understand that we are the light on the hill and that everything radiates outward into the world for all beings. I'd like to close with a poem, a short poem from a book called The First Free Women from the Tathagata. These are the poems of the very first nuns, the women that were alive during the lifetime of the historical Buddha. So to close, after all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. Thank you.